one more verse to complete this chapter. Jiva jiva vinir mukto gunaischa saya sambhavai mayaiva brahmana purno na bahir nantaras charet. Free from the subtle conditioning of the mind and from the modes of nature born of material consciousness, the living entity becomes completely satisfied by experiencing my transcendental form. He no longer searches for enjoyment in the external energy, nor does he contemplate or remember such enjoyment within himself. Purport: the human form of life is a rare opportunity for achieving spiritual liberation in Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna has elaborately described in this chapter the characteristics of the three modes of nature and the transcendental situation of Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered us to take shelter of the holy name of Lord Krishna, by which process we can easily transcend the modes of nature and begin our real life of loving devotional service to Lord Krishna. Thus in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 11th canto, 25th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Three Modes of Nature and Beyond. Om Ma Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahiyam Tadattisva Padantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So there are a number of points here. First one is Bhakta Pete points, gives us some tips. Dehamimam labdva, or tasmad dehamimam labdva. That's the first line of the sloka. Therefore, deham imam labdva means now you've got the human form of life. Right? And of course the human form of life is important, because in the human form of life one has the opportunity to develop this consciousness, this understanding. Actually, in the human form of life one has the capacity to hear spiritual information and understand it. This is the critical importance of receiving the human form, is having the capacity to hear and understand. You know, you can talk all day long to a dog about devotional service, but he'll look at you and then lick your nose. He's hearing, he's got ears, but no ability to comprehend. So the human form of life is a wonderful opportunity to understand the real purpose of life, to discriminate, to be able to discriminate between matter and spirit. Yet even achieving the human form of life, that doesn't necessarily mean that a person will exercise that capacity or that ability, because even we see amongst the human beings still a strong propensity to act like an animal. Right, so therefore the human beings are called dvipada pashu, which means two-legged animals. If they're not pursuing, or if they're not utilizing the great boon that they've received in being given a human form of life, it's considered to be a great waste, a loss. So even we get this, we're given the rare human, what is it? Dulabha means rarely achieved. Dulabha. So there are those, due to their, I guess, yeah, pious activities. And there are different types of pious activities. There's material piety, but there's also spiritual piety. And those who have engaged in pious activities of a spiritual nature, is described, Prabhupada explains, I think, quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's different types of sukriti, or pious activities. And those who have performed pious activities of a spiritual nature, in other words, they don't have a material, they don't bring about a material result, they bring about a spiritual result. They're able to take advantage, real advantage, of the human form. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in answer to, Neha bikrama naso sti pratyovayo navijite svapramap yasyadama syatrayate mahatobaya. Just a little progress in spiritual life will be multiplied, or will add to the existing bank balance of sukriti, which can then be taken advantage of further on in the future. So those who have received that advantage due to the mercy of Krishna, and the mercy of Krishna manifests through the mercy of the devotees, and which is one of the reasons why we put so much effort into distributing prasadam and distributing literature and giving people an opportunity to engage in devotional activities. Even they don't know it, still there's an accumulation of an effect. Just by hearing. Another reason why the human form of life is so important, or any form of hearing, practically speaking. Even just hearing the sound of the Maha Mantra, one becomes purified. That's pious activity in and of itself. Practically speaking, they're not doing anything except sitting and listening. And they don't realize, but actually there's a benefit from that. That's sukriti. You know, you can argue with people all day long, right, about the importance of devotional service, you know, really, but not make any progress with them. In Adelaide the other day, when I was giving class, Lakshman and his wife were saying, you know, we've been telling our friends they should come to the temple. We've been arguing with them and trying to convince them, but they still don't want to come. So the best thing is just give them some prasadam. Give them a book. Let them hear the holy name. You can't argue with people to accept, you know, and it's mentioned in the Shastra that Krishna can't be understood by logic, reasoning, argument. It's only by devotional service. Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai. Sevan Mukha Hijiva Dosvayam Evas Paratyada. Krishna becomes pleased, not necessarily by a study of the Vedas. Vedeshu Dulabha Madulam Atma Bhakto. It's actually, you know, you can be studying the Vedas till the cows come home and not understand the purport without the association of the devotees. That's why we need a guru, is to lead us, to guide us, in to pull us or push us in the proper direction. So this sukriti, or this pious activity in spiritual life, is an accumulation thereof, creates a situation where one becomes attracted to spiritual principles, spiritual practice. And as we read in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami says, it's a development. It's active. You know, in other words, we need to do something. And it's something that's developed throughout the various lifetimes. And in this lifetime. So those who have performed enough sukriti, or bhajana mukha sukriti, is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In other words, pious activities in devotional service, that one is given the ability to discriminate. One's able to see, yes, simply pursuing material benefits ultimately doesn't make me happy. That my real longing or yearning for satisfaction, for happiness, for perfection, if you like, is to pursue my relationship with Krishna. Ultimately, that's the realization that we get. Every other relationship that I pursue causes me to suffer. The eternal relationship that we have is ultimately with the with that object or that thing, if you like. Well, we don't say object or thing, we say person, because he's a person. The ultimate relationship is, eternal relationship is with Krishna. Jivara Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. Is that right? Yeah. So this is an intelligent person. And of course, as I mentioned in the end, intelligent people, what is it? Krishna Vanam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parashadam Sang Yogyoy Sankitan Praya Yujantihi Sumedasaha. Those who have a little bit of intelligence given by as a result of the performance of sukriti, pious activities, pious devotional activities, they recognize the efficacy or the potency of the sankirtan, of the chanting of Hare Krishna. And so they take advantage of that opportunity. I'm given the human form of life. Here's an opportunity for me to take advantage of it. Let me chant Hare Krishna. That's the realization of a very intelligent person, as is said by the Bhagavatam. Or maybe not intelligent, very fortunate. We became intelligent not because of our good fortune. Right? Just in case we're starting to get, saying very intelligent. If we're so intelligent, how come we're still attached to so many material things? Right? So our discrimination is not that, needs sharpening still. And so therefore we have these instructions. In the Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita we have these instructions. Watch out for the modes of material nature. Watch out for the mode of passion. Watch out for the mode of ignorance. Understand how guna sangosya, by associating with the modes of material nature, our consciousness is affected. What's being recommended is we cultivate the mode of goodness. Not the mode of goodness per se, just to be in the mode of goodness, but rather the mode of goodness so that we can engage in devotional service. Sometimes I was talking to Yadisresta the other day, and he was saying, sometimes actually this excuse of the mode of goodness is actually the mode of ignorance. It's an excuse not to do anything, right? Oh no, Prabhu, I've got to sit and chant and read. Hang on, there's a service that needs to be done. Oh no, that's too much in the mode of passion, I don't want to do that. Actually, it's a mode of ignorance. Huh? Even in devotional service, there's action. We can see, Srila Prabhupada was very active. We shouldn't mistake activities in devotional service to be material activities. They're not. Although there may be vigorous action, even actually for those in the mode of goodness, there's still vigorous action is required. You know, performance of one's duty. We were reading last night in the Bhagavad Gita, in the section that we're reading in the second canto, this principle was being discussed also. We conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by engaging ourselves in activities of the mode of goodness. Now, activities of the mode of goodness means doing your duty, analysing our propensities that we've acquired as a result of our association with the modes of material nature. We'll have certain propensities, right? And engaging those propensities in dutiful work, detachment, with detachment from the result, that's actually called the mode of goodness. Because it's not being performed with some end in mind. It's performed for the purpose of purification. That's very much the mode of goodness. Even though it may be in consideration of the modes of material nature that we've acquired, because we have acquired modes of material nature, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So we have certain propensities. So we engage those propensities, but we engage those propensities in consideration of the modes, but with a purpose for purification. That's actually the mode of goodness. So, you know, somebody who has somewhat of a passionate nature should engage that in devotional service by performing activities suited to their nature. You know, what does Krishna say about repression? What does he say about repression? Yeah. What's that in English? I'm not that good on Sanskrit. A pretender. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, don't pretend. But what does he say? What does he say about your natural propensities? What will happen to them if you repress them? Bling, it'll pop out. It'll pop out on you anyway. What will repression accomplish? You won't accomplish anything other than, as Pete says, you know, you'll make out that you're something that you're not. So one says, you know, devotional service means recognizing who I am and then engaging that propensity or that, not that we flaunt it, you know, oh, I'm in my, you know, you have to put up with me. Not that kind of, you know, engaging your propensities. That's more mode of passion or even mode of ignorance. But rather, you know, there has to be some introspection, some analysis of who I am, where am I situated in my progressive, you know, path of devotional service, and then how do I engage these propensities to act so that I become purified? That's a mode of goodness. What was it? Prescribed duties, capricious work, and what was the other one? Inaction. Yeah, just laziness. Capricious activities is pretty much the mode of what? What's capricious activities motivated by? Which mode? Passion. Yeah. What about inaction? Ignorance. And prescribed duties? Goodness, because it's detached, or it should be. Because, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, prescribed duties can also be performed with attachment to the result, which is not as good as prescribed duties performed with detachment. This is actually the beginning of bhakti yoga, is this detached duty, detached action. Without thinking, oh, I'm going to get this, oh, I'm going to get that. It's very subtle. And so, but it's very practical. Here, a wise sage, free from all material association and unbewildered, should subdue his senses and worship me. So, you know, this working in according to our prescribed duties without attachment or with detachment is this subduing the senses. For this, for us, this is subduing the sense of not, you know, going to the forest and, you know. That we know doesn't work. We look at the example of Vishwamitra and other yogis who try to restrain the senses. But as Krishna points out, what does repression accomplish? Ultimately, not a lot. But if we engage that, those propensities, something positive, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of children. Children, if you let them alone in the kitchen, what do? Go and drink the Dettol underneath the kitchen sink or something. You know, start playing with knives. Right? So they get in trouble. But if you get the children and start to engage them in something positive, get them to do something positive, even you make it into a game, right? You make it into a game, but they engage that energy in something positive, then they don't get into trouble and they actually do something beneficial. That's the art of teaching, is to get that natural enthusiasm and spontaneity and enthusiasm from children and get them to do something where they actually learn without knowing that they're learning. That's the art of teaching, or the art of teaching anybody really. So Prabhupada would say, you know, Hrishikena, Hrishikena, Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. We serve the master of the senses. So we engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses. That's devotional service. That way we then take these propensities that we've acquired and which have been influenced by the modes of nature, and we engage them in positive activities so that there's a beneficial result. We will act, but we can't stop acting. The nature of the soul is to be active. That's a symptom of life. So, and that way, by engaging in that detached and dutiful work, then one is able to conquer the modes of passion and ignorance. Doing things in a regulated fashion, and even, you know, taking. The work that we do, and we dovetail it. Basically, Prabhupada said, okay, dovetail your desires with Krishna's desires. You have your inclinations. Krishna has his plan for you. Work out what that is and then put them together. Come up with something positive. It means discipline, it means sensual and mental control to do that, but of course, that's the mode of goodness. Right? And it may not even be pleasant in the beginning. That's also the mode of goodness. It may be difficult. Actually, even in the middle, even in the end, it can be a struggle. Huh? Then, being fixed in devotional service, the sage should also conquer the material mode of goodness by a difference toward the modes. Thus pacified within his mind, the spirit soul, freed from the modes of nature, gives up the very cause of his conditioned life and attains me. So then, you know, what happens is we become attached to serving Krishna. We actually get a satisfaction from doing that. You know, and that's the cultivation of devotional service. Prabhupada gives the example, just like a man gets a satisfaction for working for his family. Right? Goes to work, comes home, and hands over his pay to his wife and kids, who then spend it. Like Prabhupada says, legal robbers, legal thieves. They take them. But he's happy doing that. Satisfied. He actually gets pleasure. And of course the wife gets pleasure out of serving the husband. There's a rasa or taste from that relationship. So the eternal rasa or taste is actually perfected in rendering service to Krishna. It's the temporary relationships bring temporary pleasure, but the eternal relationship that we have with Krishna brings eternal satisfaction and pleasure. So one becomes actually attached. What is it? Nirahara Sya Dehina. Rasavajam risopyasya param dristva nivartate. What is it? Vishayavi nivartante niraharasya dehina. So, we've got the human form of life. That gives us a wonderful opportunity. When we come into the association of the devotees, then we get an opportunity to exercise that option, if you like, right? In the human form of life, you get an option to perfect, to engage in devotional service. But you know, even though you've got that option, very often people don't even get that opportunity. They don't get an opportunity to exercise their option. When they come into the association of the devotees, then they get an opportunity. But sometimes they don't take it. Huh? Willingly. Sometimes they don't take it. Just like children don't like, or getting onto our children analogy, children don't like to take medicine. Huh? Even though they're sick. I remember when I had the mumps as a kid. And when I woke up in the morning, then I'd be in pain. Anybody had mumps? Who's had mumps? You haven't had mumps? What is it? Your glands in your throat just swell up. And it's really painful to swallow. Huh? No, it's not tonsillitis, that's another thing. It's called mumps. You never had mumps? Put it this way. If you've had mumps, you'll know about it. So, you know, you wake up in the morning and, oh, it's horrible. And then my mum used to crush up a Disprin or a, you know, analgesic painkiller. And then put it in honey so that I could swallow it. And even then it was still horrible. So you know, it's take the pill and be better later on, but still have to suffer. So you think, no, I don't want it. I'll just revel in my misery. Let me be miserable. So, you know, children are like that. They don't want to take the medicine, even though it's going to make them better. Because initially it doesn't taste nice. Oh, they don't like it. So in the human form of life, people are like that. You know, they get an opportunity to engage in devotional service and they say, oh, it's too hard, it's too painful, I don't want it. Even though it's good for them, it's beneficial for them. So the devotees understand that principle, that, okay, this person is a bit foolish and they don't understand this is good for them, but I'll give it to the, I'll coat it in a bit of honey, make it nice and sweet, and then let them take it. Huh? For their benefit, for everybody's benefit. So we can take advantage, we and they can take advantage of the human form of life. This is the beginning. Does mud, what is it? Tasmad deham imam labdva. Now you've got the hymn. Atato brahma jigyasa. This is the Vedanta Sutra, aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra in the beginning. Now you've come to the human form of life. Inquire into what its purpose actually is. This is the real test of the human form of life, is to actually make a success out of it. And a success out of it isn't necessarily to accumulate material possessions, because they're limited, they're temporary, they don't bring satisfaction. Motivated by the mode of passion, what do we get? In the end, what happens from passion?
Suffering.
Yeah. Suffering, distress. Yeah. But, you know, a person in the mode of ignorance can be attached also. The mode of material nature bring about attachment. In each of the modes, right? There's happiness in the mode of ignorance. There's happiness in the mode of passion, and there's happiness in the mode of goodness. So attachment arises in all of the modes, but distress is basically the mode of passion means distress. I worked hard and achieved the results of my work, but then it was taken away by somebody else. It was taken away by the time. Everything ultimately gets taken away by the time factor. But our relationship with Krishna can't be taken away. In fact, that relationship is something that gets stronger and more as we follow the process of devotional service. That relationship becomes stronger and more developed and deepened, even as does the relationship with the devotees. These are eternal relationships. They're not temporary relationships. Prabhupada said, there'll be ISKCON in the spiritual world. Right? So we're developing our relationships and friendships now, and they'll be carried on in the spiritual world. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? Maybe or maybe not. I'm not going to the spiritual world if he's going. Well, I hope he's in another part of the spiritual world. Anyway, the spiritual world is big enough to accommodate all of us. But that's the advantage of the human form of life, and we should take advantage of it. Understanding this, how to apply, or understanding how to, what actually is the motive of goodness? What is the motive of goodness? Motive of goodness is not inaction. The motive of goodness is to be active in a detached way. And so, the devotees appear to be very busy. Like Prabhupada says, we go to the bank, we do some business, we sell books, we look for support from others, we're out chanting Hare Krishna, we may be going out distributing prasadam, that requires effort, right? A lot of work. Most of the things that we do require effort and work. Don't it? Anything, you ever noticed anything happening and by not doing anything? No, you got to work. You got to work hard, actually. Huh? You have to work hard. And sometimes people think, working hard, we'll work by the passion. But no, not if it's for Prabhupada, not if it's for preaching. Look at Prabhupada. Do we say that Prabhupada was... Because, what if Prabhupada didn't sleep hardly 3 or 4 hours a night in a day? So we say, he's active all the time on his mode of passion. We don't say that. Prabhupada hardly stayed in one place for longer than a week at a time. And that would have been a long stay. Always moving. Always preaching. And very active. Very active. So devotees are very active in devotional service. We are not budging and undies. Our line is not, we just sit under a tree, chant Hare Krishna, and study the Bhagavatam all day long. Of course, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't chant Hare Krishna and study, but that's not all we do. And in fact, in order to push on Krishna consciousness, we have to be active. That then engages our propensity to act, and also gets rid of this, this tendency towards sahajarism or making out, I'm very advanced. And so therefore, I don't have to do these things anymore. But what has Prabhupada showed us? Here's what an advanced devotee does. Even Bhaktisiddhanta says what he takwa. They showed, here's what an advanced devotee does, tirelessly preaches. Tirelessly creates opportunities for others to engage in devotional service. Even though Prabhupada said, I'd like to retire, did he ever retire? But it would be Hari Sawari mentions, Prabhupada would retire, periodically. And the retirement would last about, in some cases, 5 minutes. He would say, okay, no more letters, I don't want to be bothered anymore. But the next day when somebody would come up with a problem, and Prabhupada was back into it again. Because it wasn't a material activity for him, it was loving service to Krishna. And especially for us, in the mood of Sankirtan. Right? Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. Yagyoi Sankirtan Praye Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. Those who are intelligent worship the Lord. Through this, Sankirtan Jagya. That's the proper utilization of the human form of life in this day and age. Preaching. And of course we have to do our sadhana also, not that we neglect those things. That's also action. Proper action, proper utilization of the human form of life. So therefore, we have the ISKCON sandwich, right, that we should eat every day. There's morning program where we have our puja, japa, Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada mentions, he says devotees should read 2 hours a day, but he included the Bhagavatam class as part of that process. It wasn't left out. That was part of the process. That's why Prabhupada says morning class, evening class. Because we don't always have evening classes, but in one sense we do, because we go out and hold programs, and in that program we then study the Bhagavad Gita. Or, study books. Share that information with others. So it's part of the process. That way, actually, by hearing the philosophy, we hone and sharpen our intelligence, our ability to discriminate. That's what the philosophy is for. So that our action will be right. Right? So that we do the right things. Buddhi yoga means, sharpen the intelligence. Use your intelligence. This is material, this is spiritual, let me pursue the spiritual. So very important. Detached action. Is the proper utilization of the human form of life, right? The human form. It means we're to act. We act in a particular way. This is the mode of goodness. With detachment. With a goal for purification. Without thinking, what's in it for me. Let me do the service out of a sense of duty, and let the benefit be for Krishna. I mean, Krishna's not stupid. He knows that he'll look after his devotees. He'll look after us. Does anyone have any comments or questions on any of these points? We've finished that chapter. We're on to chapter 26, the Oila Gita. Sri Radha Balabha. Age before, what do they say? Age before beauty? Sorry, Sunai. Well, that's an interesting point, because you see sometimes that, and I think that's correct, sometimes you see that people are attracted to Krishna, but they also have a lot of baggage, a lot of impediments, and so they can't quite fully hang on, you know what I mean? So that appears to be a fact. So we can understand those who, Tesham Tvantikatam Papam, Punya something, Jananam, Punya Karmanam, isn't it? Yeah, that Krishna says you can only take the devotional service if you become purified. Right? Now, our fortune is sometimes made for us by the devotees, right? Or actually, it is always. But we have to take advantage of it. And for some, it's more of a struggle than others. Which indicates that they don't have quite the same sukriti or accumulation of pious activities. So therefore they need encouragement and support. But ultimately, as Prabhupada points out, we have to fly our own plane. So we need to quickly understand the process and then apply it and keep applying it and understand that You know, Prabhupada gives the example that devotional service is spontaneous, actually, and that it has its own, momentum. Like, it needs to be started. So, you know, Prabhupada gives the example of starting a motor car. Your motor car conks out, right? And so therefore, you know, you get your friends behind it and you push it, right? Then put it in gear and it goes, and off it goes. Right? Of course, in this day and age, we've got automatic motor cars, and you can't do that. We've made an advancement now, so we can't even push start our cars. When it conks out, that's it, it's finished. So anyway, you know, the process of sadhana bhakti is this, starting the car and getting it going. And once it gets going, it should go on its own steam, so long as it's got petrol in the tank. Right? In one sense, you know, our previous sukriti is the petrol in the tank that will keep us going. So we need to create that more and more and more for ourselves and for others. Right? So that we can keep going on our own steam. But it does, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, you see sometimes it's very attracted to Krishna, but still also at the same time attached to some ignorance. Right, so we can see the influence of the modes of material nature in our... you can probably see it in yourself if you look just a little closely. I can certainly see it in myself. This is the power of association. Guna sangasya. Very powerful. And why we recommended, you know, initially asat sangatyag, you know, sangatyag. Give up bad association. Take up the association of devotees. Because that's just going to keep building our sukriti. Bhajanamukhi sukriti, devotional pious activities. Right? Suman?
Provoked with the advice that we have to perform sadhana in the mood of goodness.
Yes, it is.
So in the previous ideas, meditation was the process.
Kriti Yuga. What is it? Kritayam Jayato Vishnum. Yep.
And in this book it is chanting the holy names.
Yep.
So can we say that...
It's also Jayam.
So can we say that the definition of mode of goodness has changed in due course of time?
I wouldn't say the definition. The definition of the mode of goodness is the same. It's just that the prominence or the presence of goodness is less obvious or less effect. It's not there. Especially in the Kali Yuga. It's the influence of mode of passion and ignorance. But in the Kriti Yuga or the Satya Yuga, then goodness is the prominent mode. Right? We've got an appointment with this gentleman in 5 minutes. He's probably telling me that he's here. Yeah, so mode of goodness, Kriti Yuga. We're definitely not living in the Kriti Yuga. What's people's meditation at the moment?
The races.
Huh? The races. Yeah, exactly. The races. What's going on in politics at the moment? What's happening in... I'll tell you what it is. It's there's a debate on the Afghan war. The Aussie dollar is at parity with the US. And, you know, who's going to win the Cox Plate this weekend? Probably about it. Yeah. So what's that? Passion, goodness, or ignorance?
Passion.
Yeah, I think mixed ignorance and passion. That's where people's meditation is. That when they turn on the television in the morning, then they get, you know, politics, business, and sport. Yeah, politics, business, and sport. And if there's no, and if there's nothing really happening, then they make stuff up. They talk about stupid things. You know, I never hear a conversation about, you know, a discussion between Sukadev Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit. It's all, you know, money, 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 mostly. Yeah, you know, the big topic in Victoria is the SES, the State Emergency Services people are all tired and exhausted, and the organisation's going to collapse. Forget about the fact, you know, they've just had all of these floods and all of these natural, you know, so they've been working really hard, right? And so people are complaining they're working too hard. Well, it's obvious they're working hard. They've had emergencies to deal with. Huh? The floods, recent floods, made them very busy. So now they're tired. So then they talk about it. Ooh, yes, this is a problem. This is really bad. So they create things. Huh? To talk about. Because it may be a problem also. So many of these topics are infused basically with this ignorance and passion. And we don't find motive goodness prominent in Kali Yuga. It's the nature of the age. And so therefore, you know, it's unique what Prabhupada has established in one sense, a culture of goodness. But not really goodness. It's devotional service uses as its foundation, as its material foundation, the mode of goodness. But it is not even the mode of goodness, because it's devotional service, and because it's connected to Krishna, it's actually transcendental. Right? It's not even the mode of goodness in reality. Which is why, some, you know, when we see Arjuna's fighting on the battlefield, you know, killing all of the soldiers, then it's, you could say, what is this? Passion, ignorance. It looks like material activity, but it is not. Right? They're very easy to mistake devotional service for something that it is not, if one doesn't have the proper vision, transcendental vision. Right? And so what appears to be passionate activity is actually devotional service. Because it's taking the propensities of the person and utilizing them for Krishna's pleasure. And we know that Krishna's pleasure is the benchmark of the worth of an activity. Isn't it? Krishna's pleasure is the benchmark. So if Krishna is pleased by Arjuna's fighting, therefore it's devotional service. So even our work may appear to be somewhat passionate. Or even sleeping. You know, we could say, oh, sleeping, you're in the mode of ignorance. But, you know, you also need to rest. So therefore Krishna says, yuktahara viharasya, yuktaswap, what is it? Yuktakarma sachetasu, yuktaswapnavabodasya, yogo bhavati dukkaha. That's in the sixth chapter. You know, regulated activities, regulated rest, regulated recreation. Even for the devotees, there needs to be some recreation. Huh? Some social interaction, not all working all the time. But those activities, when they're done to please Krishna, then that's the measure, and that's what takes it into the transcendental realm. So it's beyond the mode of goodness, right? Beyond the mode of goodness. In Kriti Yuga, you know, then the mode of goodness was utilized for devotional service in that people were peaceful and they could meditate. I've got to go. I've got an appointment. Pantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai.